From MainePublic.org, I'm Barbara Caridi, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, November 30th, 2016. And on this day, leaders in the Maine legislature deadlock on approving construction of a new forensic facility next door to the Riverview Psychiatric Hospital, and Governor Paul LePage says he'll just build it elsewhere. Fewer families are struggling to pay their medical bills, according to a new federal report. But health advocates in Maine say too many residents here still suffer financial ruin when they get sick. And Maine-based shoe manufacturer New Balance is one of the winners in the new defense authorization bill working its way through Congress. Those stories and more after this.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light, now through December 31st, MaineGardens.org, and USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
I'm Barbara Caridi. Legislative leaders have deadlocked on approving construction of a new secure forensic rehabilitation facility planned to be built next to the Riverview Psychiatric Hospital. In response, Governor Paul LePage issued a statement saying he'll simply build the facility outside of the Capitol area and out of the jurisdiction of Democrats on the Legislative Council. Mal Leary has more.
State law requires the Legislative Council, which is made up of elected legislative leaders, approve major construction within the Capitol area. During a meeting Wednesday, Republicans on the Council voted to approve construction of the facility. Democrats opposed it, but neither side had the necessary 6 votes to prevail. As planned, the construction is now in limbo. In his statement, Governor LePage accused Democratic leaders of playing politics, suggesting he would simply relocate the facility out of the Capitol area. The governor said, quote, "We will not let people with mental illness languish for years." But relocating the facility will cost more than the $3.5 million that is set aside, and it's unclear where the additional money will come from. A new legislative council takes office next week and could take up the issue. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Fewer American families these days are struggling to pay their medical bills, according to a report from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. The number has been declining steadily for the past 5 years, but health advocates in Maine say there are still too many who can't afford health care. And as Patty White reports, the problem of paying medical bills may affect more families in Maine than those in other states.
5 years ago, there were nearly 57 million people under the age of 65 who were in families that had a hard time paying medical bills, according to the CDC. This year, that number has dropped about 5% to nearly 44 million people. That dip, says Morgan Hind of the Maine Health Access Foundation, is not surprising because of the Affordable Care Act.
The reduction in people and families who are having trouble with that is directly related to the fact that 20 million people now have coverage that didn't 5 years ago.
Uninsured rates are at historic lows, says Emily Brostek of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare, so it follows that more people can afford their medical costs.
What we've wanted to achieve through national health reform has worked to a great extent.
But Brostek says there is room for improvement.
I would say there are still too many people who are struggling with their medical bills, and we hear from people on our helpline that, you know, literally lose their house because they can't stay on top of their medical bills.
Some of these bills were racked up before the Affordable Care Act was in place, says Brostek. Other calls to the helpline come from people who currently have insurance but struggle to pay ever-increasing deductibles. And then there are people who don't have any health insurance.
We still have a number of people who don't have affordable health coverage options because we haven't accepted funding available to cover them through our state Medicaid program.
Which, Brostek says, means the number of Maine families struggling with medical bills likely skews higher than the national average. The Maine Health Access Foundation released a report last year that found in 2013 and 2014, Mainers across all income levels had more difficulty paying their medical bills as compared to the rest of the nation. Whether that gap narrows in the future and more families can afford health care depends on the policies that will be put forth by President-elect Donald Trump. Trump has said that he plans to repeal and replace the ACA, but Morgan Hind of the Maine Health Access Foundation says she hopes some elements will be preserved, including the individual mandate to buy insurance.
Because you really need everyone in the insurance pool to make all the other pieces fit together properly. So you have to have the good parts and the not so good parts together.
In other words, healthier people need to be a part of the insurance pool to help offset the costs of those who are not as healthy. There's one other aspect of the ACA that Hind says is worth preserving to increase healthcare affordability: Medicaid expansion.
And it's also something that hasn't happened in Maine yet, but I hope that Maine will still have the opportunity in 2017 to expand Medicaid.
This fall, a number of Maine organizations launched a petition to put Medicaid expansion on the ballot. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Down in Washington, a defense authorization bill moving through Congress will benefit military contractors in Maine. Maine Senator Angus King, an independent who serves on the House Senate Conference Committee that just completed work on the bill, says Maine-based shoe manufacturer New Balance will benefit from a provision requiring American-made athletic footwear for the military. King says the provision will be phased in.
It allows the Defense Department to procure other shoes for a two-year period while they phase in the Made in America. New Balance is ready to meet that requirement.
King says additional F-35 jet fighters in the bill will mean work for the Pratt & Whitney plant in North Berwick. The measure also authorizes construction of two new destroyers. One is already allocated to Bath Iron Works. The second hasn't yet been awarded. The conference bill now goes to the full House and Senate. Meanwhile, King's Republican colleague Susan Collins chaired a panel today looking into abuse of the elderly. A report by the Federal Government Accountability Office, unveiled today by the Special Senate Committee on Aging, indicates that while elder abuse is a problem, its true extent is unknown. But in Maine, at least, the number of cases that are known has skyrocketed.
In the past 12 months, LSE assisted 260 victims of elder abuse. This is up 24% from the prior year.
That's Jay Martin, Executive Director of Legal Services for the Elderly in Augusta, who detailed several recent cases for the panel. She says her organization has been asked to investigate drained savings accounts, the loss of homes, destroyed credit, and abused powers of attorney on behalf of Maine seniors. Senator Collins said when it comes to stemming such abuse, there's, quote, good news and bad news.
The good news is people are starting to report these cases. The bad news is it's probably the tip of the iceberg.
Jay Martin says probably only 1% of senior abuse and fraud cases are being reported. Collins continues to push for passage of the Senior Safe Act, which she says will help address elder abuse. And in Maine, leaders of the bipartisan aging caucus in the state legislature say they plan to recruit new members and advocate for programs that help seniors. Incoming House Majority Leader Aaron Herbig, a Democrat from Belfast who co-chairs the caucus, says it has worked.
A lot of us feel from our constituents that they don't see a lot of bipartisan work. They don't see a lot of people rolling up their sleeves and really getting down to business on important issues like Maine seniors.
Caucus co-chair Senator Amy Volk, a Republican from Scarborough, says small investments that help keep seniors in their homes, such as a wheelchair ramp, can save the state a lot of money in the long run. Coming up, Donald Trump's heated rhetoric about undocumented workers is sowing fear among some workers in New England. During his campaign, Donald Trump made headlines with his comments about undocumented Mexican workers in the U.S., calling some of them criminals and rapists. And as president-elect, Trump has pledged to deport millions of illegal immigrants with criminal records. It's unclear how many people fit this category. In Maine, it's estimated there were about 5,000 unauthorized immigrants as of 2014. That's less than 1% of the population. But Trump's sweeping statements are cultivating fear among some undocumented workers, including some dairy farm workers in Vermont. For the New England News Collaborative, Kathleen Masterson of Vermont Public Radio reports.
Every Sunday, an ad hoc group of friends and acquaintances meets to play a game of pickup soccer. The teams are fluid. There's no referee, but they play a spirited game with players shouting in both Spanish and English. Alfredo is decked out in neon yellow socks and cleats and his hair pulled back in a small bun. He plays a mean game with fast footwork. And to protect his privacy, we're only using his first name.
How long have you been here?
12 years today.
12 years today?
Yeah. Thanks. I don't know if it's happy, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Alfredo has been working long hours on Vermont dairy farms for over a decade. He says he doesn't follow politics very closely, but still, he doesn't expect Trump's election will change things that much. He says for years some politicians have been promising to reform immigration policy to keep workers here, while the other side has been making promises to deport people in the country illegally.
It doesn't matter like what they were trying to do. Like they're trying to be legalization on all the Spanish people for like 60 years and haven't done anything. And they're trying to deport it since that time too, and they haven't deported anyone. So I mean, it's just nothing has changed in like so many years from now. Like, it's not going to change over day.
Certainly, undocumented immigrants have indeed been deported from Vermont and other states, including many farm workers. The Department of Homeland Security says 2.5 million people since 2009. Not all the dairy farm workers playing soccer here feel so defiant in facing the very real possibility of deportation. Gregorio is also originally from Mexico, and he entered the country by walking across the border. He works 11-hour days, 6 days a week, on a dairy farm in Bristol. He says the election of Donald Trump has created a palpable climate of fear.
Well, as it is, we're in danger of being deported because we're here illegally in this country. Under Obama, thousands of undocumented immigrants were deported. And now with this new government, we're hearing there will be even more deportations because that's the campaign he ran on. And so we're in fear of being deported at any moment.
Gregorio says when he first moved to Vermont 3 years ago, it was peaceful. He felt comfortable leaving the farm where he lives and works and going to the grocery store, to the bank. But over the summer, he saw three of his friends picked up by immigration authorities. Gregorio recently sold a car he co-owned with a friend. He feared that merely driving on the roads, he'd be at risk of getting pulled over and that immigration would be notified.
Now I shop quickly in Bristol and then go back to the farm.
He has had some interactions already that were blatantly threatening.
Only one time, when I was depositing money while there was a Trump campaign here in Middlebury, and a woman taunted me saying that if Trump becomes president, he'll no longer be able to send money to Mexico.
Gregorio says he doesn't understand the hatred that some people have projected, and he says we're all humans. And he echoes a sentiment that all the dairy workers mentioned.
If everyone is deported, my question is, who is going to work? We are here working many hours for little money, and this is what keeps the farms running here in Vermont.
Gregorio adds that the undocumented status of many farm workers takes away their voice. He says no American workers would accept such low wages for working 11-hour days. Antonio, who works on another dairy in central Vermont, agrees. He didn't play soccer today, but instead kicked a ball back and forth with Alfredo's 2-year-old son. But Antonio says it's unclear what Trump's immigration policy will really look like.
And now that he's won the presidency, we think he may have said those things because he wasn't in the White House yet and doesn't know how things are run. But when he thinks about it a bit, I think maybe he'll change his opinion.
Antonio says he's sure there are some bad people who crossed into the United States illegally. But he doesn't think planning a mass deportation will solve that problem. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Kathleen Masterson.
And as the temperature falls in Maine, heating prices are on the rise. The Maine Governor's Energy Office says the average price for heating oil rose 2 cents over the past week to $2.04 a gallon. Kerosene and propane prices also rose 2 cents. Meanwhile, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, or OPEC, says it plans to cut production. Maine Energy Office officials say it's not clear what effect that will have on heating fuel prices here. But one thing that is clear is that some heavy precipitation is on the way for Maine, including some significant snow for northern Maine. Meteorologist Paul Cousins has the details.
This November precipitation pattern certainly has put a serious dent in our long-term drought. This final storm of the month to champion that effort. Heavy rain arrives southwestern Maine shortly, swamping the state overnight, perhaps toggling with snow in the mountains. Heavy wet snow will blossom north of Millinocket after midnight with a coating to 3 inches by dawn most along the Quebec border. 30 north, 40 the entire coast. Tomorrow, the heavy snow will ease in the afternoon with another 2 to 8 inches, once again most north. A few rain and snow showers will drift over the mountains. Breezy, if not windy, with partial clearing by midday for the remainder of the state. Brightest throughout York and southern Cumberland counties. Rather raw north, 34, to a toasty mid-50s far south. Mild weather will persist Friday, yet overall quite gray. Snow showers along the Quebec border may bleed down across much of Maine overnight. Temperatures Friday afternoon, 33 to 48 north to south. Saturday, mostly cloudy north of mountains with isolated flurries, partly sunny for the remainder of the state, 30 to 45 north to south. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for Maine Public.
And that's the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, November 30th, 2016. Robert Holt composed our theme music. Thanks to our news leaders, Keith Shortall, Susan Sharon, and Andrew Catalina, and to Patty White, Fred Bever, Mal Leary, Jennifer Mitchell, Ed Morin, and Nora Flaherty for their contributions. We'd like to hear your thoughts on the podcast. You can rate and comment in iTunes, or you can email us at tdim@mainepublic.org. I'm Barbara Caridi. For all of us here at Maine Public, thanks for listening.